It's on the word, alright? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, this morning we actually talk about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Just as a recap, the Bible talks about the word if any man means any one of us be in Christ. Okay, if you are in Christ means that you're positioned in Christ. Alright, like I'm a student of NYP, I'm in NYP means I'm a student of NYP, okay? He's a new creature. The word new means what? Can you remember? What does the word new mean? What new means? A fresh formation. Okay, a fresh formation. Okay, a new creature. Old things means that which was from the original, the old nature, are passed away, is perishing. Behold, all things are become, reflexively becoming new. Okay, they are actually becoming new, alright? So that is actually what we are now. Okay, now, what happens when we get saved? When we become a Christian? This is what happens, okay? The result of our new nature is God makes us with a new nature reflexively, naturally, slowly, we lose our old nature. Okay? As it's being taken over by the new nature, the hope we have is our nature and personality can be renewed and can be changed. And this is the hope of every Christian. I've heard Christians saying, no hope, I don't want any part of this anymore. Okay, because I don't want to change. Okay, I prefer my old lifestyle. God gives us four things. Look at John chapter 14, verse 26. Okay, John 14, all the verses are there. I'll just say this. The four things that God gave us is, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Okay, for the change process. God gives us the Holy Spirit for the change process. John 14:26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Okay, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's very important for us to understand, in the process of change, we actually have equipment, and we have people to help us. Okay, number one, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Number two, God gives us His Word. Okay, God gives us His Word. In Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. Okay, maybe what I'll do is I'll get people to read. Maybe if you say Isa, you can take Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. So the three verses. Sister Jamie, you can take 2 Corinthians 3:18. Then we'll all turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. Okay?
Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his faith? By taking it thereto according to thy words. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18.
Handphone.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, so now we are going down now.
Okay, can. Hey, look, there's a car coming in. Oh, okay, can. Okay. That means you need to get a cab. You need to bring money. Okay, can. Okay, so the four of them are going down. So let's keep prayerful in our hearts, alright? Okay, so God has given us His Word. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We'll be discussing this verse, very important for change. Okay, now God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. God has given us His strategy. Okay, there is a strategy in all things, especially in change, especially from the old man into the new man. God not only changes us from inside, God also gives us practical things we need to do. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. I'll read. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. 2 Peter 1 verse 6 now. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's actually a strategy. As Christians, God actually makes us into His likeness. Okay? The very important thing we need to do firstly is that we need to be diligent. In verse number 5, we need to be diligent, okay? Diligence means to work. The word diligence means to study, means to work, okay? Diligence, giving all diligence add to your faith. virtue. The word virtue has to do with character. That means you gotta start working on character. Add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue, the more you want to obey God, the more you change in terms of your character, you will want to know more. Okay, I'm glad that people are asking questions, because the more you want to do right, as God changes your heart, you want to know more, and you need to add to church camps like this. Reading your Bible on a daily personal time is very important for adding the knowledge. And then to knowledge, temperance. Temperance has the idea of self-control. Self-control. And it's very interesting because, humanly speaking, we can get to doing things, virtue, knowledge, but then when it comes actually to temperance, temperance has to do with self-control. It has to do with ourselves now. Yes, Roger? Still a lot of action. So don't worry. Okay, and knowledge, temperance, and temperance. Patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Okay, there's a strategy there. We won't be touching much of the strategy yet. Alright, we want to actually deal with other things first. Okay, so God has given His Holy Spirit, the word strategy, and God has given us His church. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13. Let's turn there. Hebrews 3 13. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, but exhort one another daily. The word exhort means to walk alongside of. The word exhort means to walk alongside of. All of us, even as Christians, we need to learn to walk alongside one another. And I say this even as a church, even as people of God, we have no place for fighting one another. There's no place for conflict. Alright? Have you heard this phrase say in the English language? With friends like this, who needs enemies? Have you heard it before? With friends like this, who needs enemies? If my friend is like that, I don't need enemies, because you are my enemy. We are not each other's enemies. Okay? We are each other's friends. And you know what? In the church, we are each other's partners as we walk this life road. Okay? Sister, I think Sister Mars is just apologetic. There's nothing to apologize. Things happen, we help one another. Okay, that's all. Right? Things happen, we just help one another. And we are, I think all of us in our hearts, we are also concerned for Brother Rolando. The guys are going out to assist in the help. Okay, so this is something that we just need to do. Okay? So, but we need to exhort one another daily, what is called today. Notice this. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Can I say this? Just now in the morning, someone has said this. When a person is brought up in a culture of gambling, for example, over time, they will say, what's wrong with gambling? You know what that is? That is actually a hardening of the heart. Okay? If let's say if I begin, or if I've been brought up in a culture where I keep smoking, I will not think smoking is wrong. You know why? Because the heart has been hardened. Okay? In order to be sensitive to things happening, we mustn't be hard in our hearts. We have to receive and we have to respond. But when a person says, what's wrong with that? It means that the heart is already hardened, okay? So as a Christian, we need to encourage one another. You know how we encourage? Hey, we need to be faithful. Hey, we need to read the Bible. Hey, we need to forgive. Hey, we need to love. Hey, we need to do this and this and this. Okay? When we do all those things, we keep our heart soft. Okay? You know how to really keep your heart soft as Christian ministers? Some of you will grow up to be, some of you are serving, some of you are ministering to people. The way you keep your heart soft is every time someone calls you or someone and you're working with that person, feel for that person. Ask God for that personal feel for what the person is going through. We need to think through very carefully. You know, when you get to the underlying problems of these people, you understand one thing. Sometimes they are in the trouble not because they want to. They can't help themselves. They really can't help themselves. We're not saying that we are better than them, because I have problems too. But as a Christian minister, when you look at someone, they have the underlying problem. We need to pity them. And we need to do all we can in love to lift them up. Does that make sense? Regardless of who that person is. That's why genuine Christianity has no reason. He just loves everyone because Jesus loves everyone. Okay? So it's very important that the goal of the Christian life is to be more like Christ. Okay? We've repeated that so many times. But what is the process How does God change us? That's what I want to talk about today. How does God change us? Just now as two of the person were standing with each other, right? Some people stand, you're not going to make me laugh. Right? When a person starts to laugh, I like one, Sister Wei Chen's mommy, okay? Her tongue, she just have to. Then Sarah, she just gone. I said, wow, the tongue is very... so quick. You know, sometimes in terms of our personality and character, how much does it take for us to just snap? Example, we may be growing, we're doing God's work, suddenly something happens and we lose our temper, or we lose our joy, or we lose our whatever. Okay? What is the problem? How does God change us? How does God change us? Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. No one of the things when I started playing guitar, I started unfortunately with the folk guitar. You know there are two types of guitars, you know? One is actually the folk guitar. This is a folk guitar, okay? The sound. This is a folk guitar. You know the difference between a folk guitar and a classical guitar? The strings, okay? Okay, what's the difference between the strings? Folk guitar is metal strings. Okay? Classical guitar is nylon strings. Okay? And folk guitar, in this place, is thinner. Classical is thicker. The reason why classical is thicker is because they usually pluck. Alright? Now, it is unwise to start playing guitar with the metal string. You know why? When you first start playing guitar, your fingers are very soft. And so what happens is, when I play, now it's very easy, right? Hey, what happened? Okay, it's out of tune. Okay. When you actually press, it's not as easy. For me, I can just touch now, because I'm very used to it already. But you realize as a beginner, when I started playing, my fingers would bleed. It would literally bleed because it's metal strings. And when you start, you actually have to put a lot of pressure on it initially. Okay, those who, you know what's the goal? To actually kill the cells here. So that if you touch my fingers right now, all these are actually not smooth anymore. It's actually all dead skin already. So that I have, in a sense, no feeling. So when I press, it's very easy. Alright? Now, for the Christian life, there will be the initial... We need to go through a process. Okay? The process of playing guitar is, you need to go through the learning all the chords, pressing it until there's enough strength, that you don't even have to think about the pressing anymore. Okay? Now, how does God change us? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to give you specific steps that God actually goes through. Number one, but we all. Paul was speaking to Christians. Do you realize that if you're not a Christian, you and I have no ability to change? Remember the corruption of the human nature? Remember Jeremiah with the strap? Yeah, he broke it. But you know what? Sin is stronger than that. Much stronger than that. And humanly, we can never break out of sin. Humanly, we can't. Okay? Now, if we're in that condition, someone has to come in to break the chains of sin for us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? Paul is talking to Christians, number one. With open face. With open face have the idea of unveiled countenance. That means, if you remember Moses, when he came down from Mount Sinai, was the people able to see him? Do you realize that Moses actually had to wear a veil? Because Moses was in the presence of the Lord for 80 days, receiving the law, that his countenance was so bright that people cannot even look on his face, that they actually have to put a veil. Okay? Do you realize as Christians, as unsaved people, we can never look on God, but as Christians we can. Amen? We can actually go into the presence of God. That means the veil is taken away. The veil is taken away. Okay, so with open face, beholding. The word beholding means to look at. As in a glass. Let's look at James chapter 1, 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. Just take note as a glass. The glass in this context, if you look at James 1, 25, 1, 24 verse. You're looking at the context. James 1 and 24. Okay, verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Okay? Now, do you realize last time when James was writing this passage, there was no such thing as a mirror we have today. All they have to look at their own faces is what we call brass or some metal that's not polished. Okay? It's kind of like those kuali, you know kuali? The wok, which is silver in color. There's some bright one. I'm just thinking of those a little bit dull. Okay? What they have to do with that brass metal and all that, what they have to do is actually to look very closely. They have some reflection, but they actually have to look very closely. Does that make sense? That's called looking with a glass off into the glass. Okay? So the glass here refers to? What does the glass refers to? What does the glass refers to? Look at the context. Okay, look at verse 23. So verse 22 first. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So the glass refers to the word of God. Okay, the Bible. The Bible is God's glass to show us who we are. The Bible is God's glass to show us. The Bible is God's glass to show us who we are. Alright, just. Okay? Now. Then, as we look at the glass, we are then changed into the same image. When we look at the Bible, whose image do we see? The image of? Image of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 5, verse 39. Hello? No problem, no problem. Yeah, four of them are going over. Okay, Joshua, Timothy, Jeremiah, and Jacob. Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay. Okay, there you go. I'm not concerned, you know why? Look at the personality. Desmond is what personality? Steady and conscientious. Okay, Joshua? Okay, Jacob. conscientious. Jeremiah, yeah, okay, so yeah, not worry. God will use them, okay? So that's where their personality come in, okay? God has to use them. All right, let's come into this time. Change in the, isn't it? So when we look at the Bible, we look at God's image, okay, Christ's image. John 5:39 says, search the scriptures, for ye think in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me, okay? Where's Brother Mike? Huh? Did he? He went out with them? He went with them?
I think so.
Okay lah, now we have Brahma as well. Another conscientious person. But anyway. Okay, let's come into this now. We are changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, by God's way. Now to summarize this very quickly. The process of us changing into God's image, God's personality, and God's character, we firstly have the privilege of approaching God. We have the privilege now of approaching God for help. Last time we don't have. Because right now we have an open face. The veil has been taken away. Okay? That comes to us when we read God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As you read the Bible, you begin to see God's image. Okay? The Bible said, as we read God's image, we need to then obey the Word. Okay? Yeah, we need to obey God's Word. The process of change means what? With open haze, we behold the glass, as as beholding in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We read, we obey the Word with our hearts. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. This is very important. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Let's turn to Romans 6, 16, 17. This is absolutely important as a Christian. It will decide the difference between victory and defeat for you and me as a Christian. Romans 6, 16. Let's read in verse 16. Ready? 1, 2, go. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Okay, so Paul says, don't you know that you have a decision to make? That you have to yield either to God or yield to sin. And if you yield to God, you will win in obedience. But if you yield to sin, you will continue in the cycle. Okay? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Okay? Now, then we are changed. The word change is very exciting. Okay? If you look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are changed. The word change is the word metamorphosis. You know what is metamorphosis? Joanna, what's metamorphosis? What do you mean you don't know? Your PSLE is coming. What's metamorphosis? Okay, what was the life cycle of a butterfly? You have the, what? The first one is the egg, then larva, then pupa, then what? Then the adult butterfly, right? Okay, so we have the seed that changes to the larvae. Does a larvae look the same as a pupa? No. Does a pupa look the same as the butterfly? No. That's metamorphosis. You know, when I preach on Sundays and say there must be change, you realize when God says you can be changed, you change. When God is finished with you, people don't recognize you. In a good way. Okay, in a good way. You are changed. You are different. You are no longer the old person that you are. Okay, and some of you have the testimony when people look at you, they are here. Oh, need to call. Oh, so you got a big heart already, huh? Okay, need to call Desmond because I think. Does Desmond know? Desmond Noah? Huh? I don't know. There? Come. What are you going to eat first? Go eat first. Then Sister Mars, you want to feed them first? Go eat first. 找到了，不是找到，他要 flag 那个德士，他们那这四个侍卫要出去，要找德士嘛，那德士来哦，就是他们。Amen，Amen。哎呀，因为比较少人来这边。 Amen. Well, amen. Okay. Well, thank God that things are settled. Yeah. With the cat.
We procrastinated to go out and hence.
Amen. That's what. Yeah. God's grace.
Oh yes. Thank God, because there's actually a taxi driver stays next door, but he couldn't drive us out because he needs to send his friend to the clinic. It's because of that.
Then Uncle Ho was about to strike a deal with the guy near the.
Amen. Amen. Well, there you go. Well, all things work together. Well, It just happens. And it happens in, you know what God is trying to tell us? Relax, guys, relax. it's just interesting how God, it's just interesting. Alright, well, thank God. I think we need to just pray for it. Let's thank the Lord. Right? They're not here, but anyway, we just thank God for this faith. Huh? Okay, let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank you. Lord, we knew that you're going to help us. So we thank you that Brother Rolando and Sister Celine is safely here. We can just relax, concentrate on your word. And Father, we thank you that God, you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. It's things like this that we begin to understand more and more of you. Lord, we know that maybe things are just going to happen the way they are. But we know that there are higher hands watching over us. And God, increase our faith to know that even in the little things, Lord, you are interested and you are concerned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have calmed the hearts of Sister Mars, that the husband and Celine is here. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just grant to us, Lord, a wonderful time now, even as we complete this time in your word. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's keep going, okay? Alright, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We talk about the wonderful meaning of change. Okay, the word change means metamorphosis. God actually changing us into the same image in the Word of God from glory to glory, step by step. Okay, so in this verse, memorize it if you have to. God wants to change us. Okay, how does He change us? He changes us when we look at His Word, when we obey His Word, and we are changed and metamorphosized into the same image of Christ. In other words, what? The characteristics of Christ. Does it make sense? When we look at change as a Christian, we must always think character change. And as a result of character change, we look at personality change. When talk of personality change, means what's out on the outside? In other words, there are certain things that we just don't do anymore. Our personality is no longer there. Maybe last time we were untruthful, now we are always honest. Okay? Last time we were always easily angered, but now we don't. Or get angry at people. Last time when I was younger, I used to steal. I'm not saying you are supposed to steal, right? And when my mom lost money, she will come and look for me because he knows I'm a thief. But you know what? Thank God. She couldn't find the money and she found the money in her own room. That was a breakthrough. No, even little things like that, God helps us to build our reputation. Does it make sense? God helps us to build our personality. Alright? And so, remember, when change comes, it always character change. It's not just, oh, thank God for this happened, that happened. If only the externals happen, Christians, don't be satisfied. Aim for internal change. God, you change me from the inside. You change me from the inside. Okay? How are we to change? Let's look at Galatians 5:16. Okay? Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, let's read together, right? Ready? Galatians 5 and verse 16. Can you even ask them to come in? Those are not involved in the food, ask them to come in. Right? It's not the influencer talking and all that kind of thing. I want everyone to come in. Galatians 5:16, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Do you know what's the meaning of walk in the Spirit? The word walk in the Spirit means to be occupied in the spiritual things. To be occupied in the spiritual things. Okay? Huh? Oh, okay. To be occupied with Spirit. If God tells us to do certain things, we do it. Okay? If we are to be occupied with the Spirit, we are walking in the Spirit to live, we characterize to follow the company of the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the satisfaction of the lust of the flesh. If our character is that we always want to steal, but God says, thou shalt not steal. I say, God, I will walk, I will accompany with the Holy Spirit. If He tells me to walk this way, I will walk this way. And God, whatever He tells me to do, I will do. And if I follow here, I won't follow that guy. The old man. Does it make sense? Alright, you know why Christians struggle? You know why Christians struggle? Because we have not made a decision. We have not made a decision to follow Christ. Do you know that you made a decision to follow Christ? You know one of the challenges I have is actually to get people to come for church camp. Okay? Or to do certain things. And I always have this tendency that I won't force you. Okay, I won't force you. Because I can't. But you know why people always have a struggle? See how lah. See how things goes. You know why? Because they have not decided. They have not decided. One of the strangest things maybe for me is when our financiers, to see how they decide to buy the place is amazing. My jaw dropped when they actually agreed on the spot. And they say, what about you? The way they ask questions when they were about to buy the place is, it was really, they would look at the place and they will ask questions about the place. Nothing negative, is they're just wanting more information, kind of like just now. Alright, we need more information before we make a decision. So they're not against it, they just want to know more. Okay? After they've known more, say, let's sit down and discuss what are the price and things like that. At the end of the day, we pray and say, well, how? I'm okay, what about you? Okay, let's go, let's sign. Straight away, it's like, no, none of the, let's see about it, let's wait and all that. No, straight away, you know, get the person, sign the form, fill in the form, and put in a check. And one of the financiers actually has a check that's very old, but he always keeps a check with him, one blank one, so that he can just sign and give it straight. And that's what he did on the spot. And over the last 1 or 2 weeks, there were still some struggles. The place was not 100% us because the bank has to approve the loan for a big property. Okay? There was a time that so I SMS one of them and say, how is the situation, all that kind of thing. You know what he said? That place is for God's glory. You don't worry about the finances. When you all move in, then you all will start servicing that loan. And the loan is only about, not only, but right now at least the loan is about 1850 for one unit. So 2 unit would be 37. About 3,700, okay, which is doable. Right now we're paying 3,200, so it's 500 more. It's doable, and so we thank God that it's still within range. Our budget is 4,000. Okay, so what I'm saying is this: when we decide, so I'm a firm believer. You know, when people put up their hands for decisions or invitation, don't just pray. I've learned the way for spiritual growth. You must, in your prayer, say this: Lord, I am going to do this, or Lord, I will. Lord, I've decided to follow you in this area. If we always say, Lord, help me, we have not decided yet. Think through, I want you to think through that. If you say, Lord, you help me, you have not decided yet. You're just asking for help. You know, when you say, God, you never help me, I cannot do it. It's a different thing as a Christian. You say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. But God, you need to help me. As in looking for Brother Rolando and all that, we send the team, we pray, God, you help us, we're going. We're determined to help Brother Desmond look for, and we're going. You know what? Let's say if it's in a bigger city or whatever, we have no guarantee of looking for it. But I know that, I mean, Malacca is not very big, and the interchange, he's just somewhere. And Brother Rolando, I'm sure he can take care of himself. We're just that we're afraid that he may be lost. Okay? So, you need to decide. Many Christians don't grow because they don't decide. If you are a dominant person, decision is very easy for you. Okay? If you're an influencer, you talk a lot. Okay? But with the much talk, somewhere along the line, you need to make a decision about following Christ. If you're a conscientious person, you will follow Christ. Of course, then if you are steady, okay, conscientious, you need to analyze the thing. But once you're in, you're in. Okay, if you're a steady person, you are faithful, you will be faithful. There will be struggles, but you know what? Even in that, you need to decide to follow Christ. You need to follow Christ. Okay? So, we are to walk in the Spirit. So how are we changed into His glory? So I'll just give you 3 R's and then we'll finish. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22. Ephesians 4 verse 22, the 3 R's. Wow, not so much. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22. You'll find that in this particular camp, we go through a lot of Bible verses, and then from the Bible verses, bring out the principles, and hopefully we'll be able to understand the principles, okay? Number one, we need to remove. Okay, if you write, we will need to remove. Okay, what do we need to remove? Look at verse 22. Ye put off concerning the former behavior. Referring once again to the way we do things, personality. We need to put away the former. The word former means the previous conversation, the old man, which is what? Corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts. Because of our sinful nature, all our former conversations and behaviors are corrupted. We do it for self-glory, we do it for selfish means, ways, selfish gain. All the behaviors that are contrary to God, the covetousness, the immorality perhaps, the things that we do, and it's all according to the deceitful lusts. God says, I need you to remove all those things. And it's very, very important, because the word corrupted means ruining. Ruining. If we don't put it away, our character will be ruined as a Christian. Remember Raymond had a gambling habit? He became a Christian. He didn't remove that. You know what? That character embedded in your life will ruin you. Okay? It's corrupt. It's in line with deceitful lust. The first step in order to change, we need to put off everything concerning the old nature, our ambition, our works, our actions, our words, because these are corrupted, ruined, and their corruption are in line with the sinful nature of lying and evil. Things that are wrong, we need to put it off. It's not okay anymore to do those former things. Why? Because if you don't put it off, a good example, if you have a nice room like this, okay? When we go to the new place hopefully in July 2013, it's going to be brand new. Okay? It's going to be brand new. Alright? And we're going to put in things, but let's pretend that it's an old place. Okay? If it's an old place, we probably have to do certain things before it's habitable. Those who was in Teleport, how many of you were in Teleport when we voted to, I think so, which one you were there? Were you there? Yeah, I think Isa, you were there also, right? I think it was only, then my wife was there, myself, Uncle Roland. When we were at Teleport, if you look at the condition of Teleport, it's like no way we can live there, no way we can do anything, it's worse than a pigsty, okay? And the toilets were like dungeons and all that kind of thing. But you know what? Thank God, the people that were there had a vision. Okay, this is a good place. You know? We voted on the spot, and then we were there. But you know what? In order for us to go in there as a church, the old landlord actually had to remove a lot of old things. Otherwise, we can't put in the new things. The first step is he needs to remove. My question for you is, as you aim to change, based on this passage, what former conversation, what behaviors, personality that you still have and you know is there from your previous life, or not previous life, it's not reincarnation, your former conversation, life before you became a Christian, alright? You know, I was asked a question by one of the brothers here about, would our personality still be around in heaven? You know, the D-I-S-C, the dominant, the influencer, the steady and the conscientious. Can I say this? Your personality before you were a Christian, you behave in a certain way. You have habits in a certain way. But when you became a Christian, if the habits stop you from your spiritual growth, you absolutely have to ask God to intervene. Okay? If you notice who Paul is, if you look at his, he's a very explosive person. He's very deep. If you look, Paul is a dominant. If you look at his profile, he's dominant. Alright? When he aims to do something, he'll do it. Alright? And when he was the chief, he was the top. And when he wanted to persecute Christians, he'll get letters from the high priest. He'll go to Damascus and want to seek those people and want to kill those persons. But you know what God did? God took over his life. And what happened? He gave his entire life for Christ. Nothing stopped him. But you know what? He was not only dominant. You know, dominant is very impatient. Paul was very patient with the Corinthian church. Although he was very strict with them, but you know what he says? I love you. He actually told the Corinthian church, though the more I love you, the less I be loved. He was willing to spend and be spent. He was willing to, right now his dominant characteristic was controlled by Christ. He was changed. And the Bible says, the churches had rest, in Galatians chapter 1, the last verse, and the people glorified God in Paul. You know, when you work under a dominant boss, you don't glorify God because of him. Right? How many of you have a dominant boss? You have a dominant... Rama is a dominant boss. Alright? I don't think you thank God for him, you know? But you know what? The churches thank God for Paul. And I believe very much, they didn't see Paul's dominant characteristic. They saw Christ in him. Does that make sense? But before that, everyone was afraid of him. Because all he did was kill them. Okay? Number one, we need to remove. Number two, notice in verse 23, chapter 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want you to notice number two, we need to renovate. The word renew basically means to renovate. We need a renovation in our house. But when we go to 2013 Woodlands 11, we will have new renovations. Okay, there will be a team, we're going to design it properly, we're going to put in the things, and we're going to have a nice place, okay? The Bible says you need a renovation in the spirit of your mind. I want you to notice, remember God breathed into man the breath of life and the man became a living soul? The spirit of the mind has to do with the inner man, not by your personality. You need to change in your heart. Okay? This has to do not with the Holy Spirit but with our spirit. Now what kinds of things do we need a renovation in? Look at Ephesians 4:31. I just give you one verse, but there are many verses in the Bible about what we need to renovate or get rid of. Okay? These are the things that we need to get rid of in order to renovate. The Bible says, let all bitterness... Do you have bitterness in your heart about things that have happened in your life? Let all bitterness... Let all wrath and anger and clamor, the word clamor means loud talking, and then, hey, why are you always like that? And shouting at people all the time, not being patient with people, evil speaking, talking bad about people, talking bad about situations. The Bible says, let all these things be put away from you with all malice, and then we need to renovate in verse 32, but be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Can you see? God has to remove that and then you can put in the tender-heartedness. Then you can put in the forgiveness. Because if you try to mix malice and anger and wrath with forgiveness, it doesn't work. You know what will be stronger? You know what will be stronger? Your old man. The old man will always be stronger. Because naturally, we always incline towards sin. Okay? Number three, we will need to remove. Number one, number two, we need to renovate. Number three, we will need new ropes. Okay? We need new ropes. The Bible says new is the same new in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the original formation of things. Okay? The Bible says in verse 24, and that he put on, okay, there's new ropes, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. Okay? The word created in the... That means our character, after we become Christians, God actually create our character with righteousness and genuine holiness. Genuine being set apart. Now, if our character is being changed, for example, if we go for dinner and we dress nicely, but we just had a soccer game, okay, and we were muddy and all that kind of thing, we need to take a shower and then we change our new clothes. Alright? Now, if you need to go for dinner and you change your old clothes, are you going to put your old clothes on and go for dinner? No. But God, when He changes us, wants the new character to be put on with righteousness and is clearly clean, is clearly righteous, our character, God wants to change. And we need to put it on. You know how we put it on? God says, I used to lie. No, God says I want to put on truth. Okay, I'll put on truth. I'll start telling the truth. I've learned also, I hope this for parents, and even as Sunday school teachers, to teach the children, don't just tell them, don't do this. Tell them you need to tell the truth. For example, you say, okay, a person who is always lying, don't tell you, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. You know what you need to tell them? Tell the truth. Aim for the action, because you need to put on. Many children say, you don't tell me to, I don't do law. And then you know what they do? They just stay where they are. They don't do anything. You actually, that's it. You cannot be unfaithful to church. No, you change that. You need to be faithful to church. You need to be at church every time. You know, one of the most stressful things that people tell me is this. Sometimes they don't like to listen to preaching. You know why? Because they're always telling us what to do. Actually, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You realize Jesus will tell people what to do? Remember the rich man? The rich young ruler will say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say? Well, you keep the commandments, you'll be fine. And the rich young ruler said, well, I've done all these things from young. You know what Jesus says? Well, there's one thing that you lack. Go and sell all you have. Give to the poor. And you will have riches in heaven. And you come and follow me. Sounds like Jesus was telling him what to do. But you know what? Not many people like people to tell them what to do anymore. I was sitting down with this person. I was talking to him. I was telling him that, look, in this situation that you're in, you need to do this. And I showed you before, he just looked into space for the next 2 hours. He just doesn't want to listen. Just doesn't want to listen. He's a Christian. Just doesn't want to listen. He's in the same state he's in today, that he was when I first met him. Many years ago. Same. No change in character. One of the most disheartening things for me as a Christian, I'm not discouraged, I'm just sad for that person. You know, as you search the scriptures and you're genuinely walking with God, there will be change. There will be change. Okay? And this change involves us actually putting on new things. Okay? Example, the last time when we serve someone smilingly, we have an ulterior motive. I'll give you an example. Let's say I want to serve, wow, you know, Ramaik, tell me anything, I'll do for you. But actually I have an ulterior motive. Okay? Because I know he has this very nice, what do you call that? Table soccer set. Everyone want to go and play. Let's say lah. Okay? So, hey, Ramaik, come, I help you to come and clean your, you know, in your house you got staircase, right? I come and clean your staircase. Okay? Yes, Brahma said, wow, okay, okay, wow, you can't help me, okay, okay. Then outside I pray, hey, Brahma, can I play your table soccer? Ulterior motive for service. But you know, after I become a Christian, I serve him smilingly, I don't expect anything. Does that make sense? You know, for Christians, sometimes when we serve, if we have a motive of getting something, we're still in the old flesh. Okay? So we need to be very, very careful. In Psalm 40 verse 3, I just read, and he had put a new song in my mouth. The word new song, I think I shared it before, the word new has the idea of last time he used to sing to God be the glory. But now after you become a Christian, you sing to God be the glory, and you sing with a heart, you're sincere about the words as well. Okay? So, what are some of the new robes? Let's look at Ephesians 5, verse 25. I just go through some of the new robes that we need to put on. Alright? Ephesians 5, verse 25. Number one, we need to speak truth one with another. Christians, it is not acceptable for Christians not to be truthful with one another. Because Paul says, we need to be truthful. If I didn't do it, I didn't do it. If I did it, I did it. Alright, just now, there was this thing about, Pastor, are you being honest or not? Are you sure you're confused about the ball and which direction you're supposed to blow? And I thank God because Sister Mars was confused too. She didn't know which direction he's supposed to, so it was confusing, okay? But you know, I was speaking the truth. That was confused, okay? So, okay. But you know what? As Christians, we need to be honest with one another. Okay, number one. Verse 26 to 27. We may be angry, but do not let it settle with us. We need to deal with it. Many Christians, when they get angry, they don't deal with it. And once they don't deal with it, the Bible says, you know what you do? You actually give place to the devil to create more damage. Okay? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We do not give place to the devil to let it fester. Christian, don't let anger eat into your soul. Deal with it immediately so that the devil doesn't have an upper hand. Alright? I know sometimes it's hard, but do all you can. Alright? In verse 28, work hard and we do not expect people to give us things, but we work for it. Alright? In Singapore, we're always asking for handouts. Okay? Not always, but I know in some countries, I do this for you, I make sure I get something from you. You know what the Bible says? You want to get something? Don't ask for free, whatever, work for it. As a Christian, we work for it. Okay, of people is kind to us, that's fine. But you know what? Don't always ask for it. Just let God bless. Verse 29, speak kindly. Speak kindly, I believe, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is unto edifying. Speak kindly to someone. You know, when you speak kindly, you know what's the meaning of speak kindly? Speak kindly means you say words that will help the person. The word kindly means to be able to help the person. Something that is good for the person. You know, as Christians, our words are ought to be kind to one another. I know sometimes it's fun. Wow, you're so handsome, ah, that kind of thing. Okay, that's fine. I think as long as there's no offense. But you know what? You need to be careful. Some people take offense even at that. Well, you're trying to insult me, right? And they really take it seriously. Now, in that situation, what do? You say, hey, why are you so thin-skinned one? Okay, you stop as a Christian. You know what's going to happen? You're going to punch you next time. We need to be wise, okay? If you say something like that and the person cannot take it, you know what we do? We withdraw. We say something else. And we say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm just joking, I'm sorry. I really, really sorry. All right, do all you can to. Why are you laughing? So, we just say sorry for it. And we need to be sensitive. You know what? What you're doing is having grace on that person. Because you didn't mean to offend, but maybe we're all different in terms of personality. We actually would take things differently. Right? We're all different. Nothing wrong with that. Like, just now my sister Mars apologized for that. I don't think she deliberately, see, once I speak of her, she come in already. it wasn't deliberate. We know that. So immediately I said, don't worry about it, it's not your fault. She didn't do anything, it's just that, whatever, okay? So, we need to speak kindly. Verse 30, the Bible says, to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Grieve not. Don't make Him sad. That means that if God the Holy Spirit tells you what to do, you do it. Okay? Obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Then in verse 32, be kind one to another, but think kindly and be good, be pitiful, be kind one to another, tender-hearted. The word tender-hearted have the idea of being compassionate. Okay, being compassionate to one another. What? Okay, being compassionate to one another, and then forgiving one another. I like the word forgive. You know what it means? It comes from the word grace. I'm giving to someone what he doesn't deserve. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, be grateful to God for what He has done for you. I want you to focus a little bit on Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32. Do you realize Ephesians 4:32 has the implication for behavior and personality change? Because the Ephesian Christians were people who were not very forgiving. They were people who were not very tender-hearted towards the people. But you know what Paul says? Look, this is not the way Christians behave. And Paul says, your personality must change in this area. That's why Paul says, you put away your malice, you replace it with kindness, tender-heartedness, forgiveness, gratefulness to God. I forgive. You know what? I'm sure how many of you, you don't have to put out your hand, how many of you have never been hurt before by someone? You can choose to be angry with this person for the rest of your life. Agree? And some people do. Some people do. And they hold that grudge and they refuse to give up until the day they go to the grave. My question to that person is, why? You're a Christian. Can you see when a person refuses to give up the personality? I need to vengeance myself, you know, vengeance myself. I need to avenge myself. And you hold on to that grudge. You know what happens? It eats into you. You get destroyed. Why? You know what God says? Thanks for adjustment. Okay, right? We need to. It has a whole area of personality. You know what? I believe with all my heart. God wants the church to be the best place to learn that. Some of us may be short tempered. You know what? Through our lives and through our helping one another, and someone may have a bad day and they shout at us. We need to be able to say, no, don't worry. I've learned this. This is my standard. It's not a defense mechanism. Some people may think it is. But you know what? When someone shouts at me and all that, I just keep quiet. In my mind, I just say, the person is having a bad day. He's not doing what is right. Or whatever. Okay? Let me say this. You know why God asks us to forgive? This is very important. Do you know why God asks us to forgive? There is a reason for that. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4:32 again, you find that when there is an offense, when there is an offense, the offender usually has something that has gone wrong in his life. When I do something wrong, it means something has gone wrong in my life. I may say something that is wrong, I may do something that is wrong. I short circuit somewhere. Right? Do you realize that if you condemn the person, it's very hard for the person to come out again? You step on him, it's very hard to come out. But if you say, don't worry about it. You know what you've done? Number one, you've shown grace. Number two, you say, it's okay, just keep on growing. Of course, if the person after 70 times is still doing the same thing to you, then you have to scold him. Alright, because he's not understanding. Forgiveness, you still have to forgive. But if a person keeps on doing the wrong things, even God will judge him. Okay? For us, our goal is to show him that he shouldn't continue. But if we are harsh and condemn, the offender will not have an opportunity to get it right. But if we forgive, then it opens up opportunities for us. Okay, I'm going to finish off with this three verses as we look at the whole change. Okay, maybe Brother Mike, if you can turn to Hebrews 3:13. And then Sister Joyce, you can turn to Acts 17 verse 11. And then Jeremiah, you can turn to Luke 9:23. As you listen to this verse, there is one word that is absolutely important that we must remember. Remember, when we look at change, God wants to change us from glory to glory, okay? The question we need to ask is, as you hear these verses, what is one principle that must happen? Okay, I'm not going to give you a lot of clue, but listen to the Brother Mike, Hebrews 3:13.
Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily, while he is called to the daily, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Okay. Acts 17:11.
Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
What is one word that you hear again and again? What's the word?
Daily.
Do you know what that means? Let's see. Jairo, can you come and help me? Can you come and help me? It's a bit hard here. There's actually a slope out there, okay? But let's pretend, okay? Jairo is walking on a slope. Can I say this? The only way in a Christian life is to grow. Grow is always an upward thing, okay? Do you know why sometimes as a Christian it's hard to grow? Because you are going against gravity. Growing is always taking that upward. So if Jairo were to move... Okay, let's say if he wants to move, Jeremiah, why don't you come? It's funner if you come. Okay. I'm going to get into coach. Give me one chance. Understand? Yeah. I'm going to get into coach. Give him some chance. Okay? Alright? Okay? Your job is to push towards spiritual growth. Okay? Ken? Alright? Ready? Literally push. He's feeling cold. Are you okay? No, okay. So, go ahead. Okay, ready? Ready? Go. Stop. Okay, so we move one step. Ready? Okay? Alright? Go. Okay, move another step. Ready, right? Okay, ready? Go. Okay, so move another step, right? Alright, ready, go. Okay, move on step, ready? Yeah? Okay, Jordan, okay, Jordan, relax. Then Jordan man start pushing. Okay. You okay? Feeling very cold. Man. Okay, I wanted to exercise. Now, the reason why I brought it out is because you realize one. I read a book one time on growth as a Christian soldier. Do you realize one thing? In your Christian life, you have, and I have, in terms of spiritual growth, we have to fight for every inch of ground from the devil. He is not going to let you have it easily. That's Satan. Do you realize yourself? How many of you do realize the greatest enemy to your own Christian life is actually yourself? The greatest enemy to your own Christian life is yourself. We get tired, we get lazy, we don't want to do what we need to do. But you know, in terms of personality change and character change, we have to deny ourselves daily. On a daily basis, day by day, we have to make decisions that will help us to grow. We come to church once a week, we make a decision. But you know what? 7 days to make one decision. If we haven't made decisions in the last 7 days, you know what's going to happen to us? The devil can attack us in those 6 days. And he's going to push us back. We can move one step front, and we can move 6 steps backwards. And many Christians over time, because they don't make any decisions for Christ, you know what are decisions? Decisions is something you determine in your heart to do for God. Example, God, I'm going to be faithful to church. God, I'm going to serve in here. God, I'm going to... By your grace, Lord, I will control my anger. By your grace, I will forgive, Lord. I know it's hard, but I will... By your grace, God, I will read. I will memorize one verse a day or one verse a week or whatever. You make decisions to do it. Why? Some people say, Brother Johnny, isn't that just doing your flesh? If God moves you to do it through your Bible reading or that, it's not. It's a decision to make. You know, you make a decision to study for your exams, right? What makes you think that we can grow without decisions? But the problem people don't grow is because, number one, they don't realize they have problems. Number two, they don't realize they have to grow, okay? So as we close, I just want to summarize, okay? Just very quickly summarize. What happens when we get saved? God gives us 4 things. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, strategy, and God gives us His church to help us along. What is the goal of the Christian life? To become Christ-like. What is the process of change? How does God change us? As we read the Bible, as we obey the Bible, God, through the Holy Spirit, changes us into the image of the Bible. What's the image of the Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about change, it means what? It doesn't mean change on the outside. It means change in our character. Last time we were very impatient. Now we are more patient. Those with the dominant characteristics who are more impatient, as you grow in Christ, you must find yourself getting more and more and more patient with whatever that's happened. Those who are very rigid to change, for example, the steady and conscientious one, who gets pressured. You know what you need to do? You need to learn to surrender to God. That even though things change, God is still in charge. And I can, with a calm heart, still move forward with God. Does it make sense? Your personality is definitely wonderful, but when God introduces change, you must be willing to accept that. Alright? That means that we will be changed from the inside. We need to be changed from the inside. How are we to change? We have to be occupied with the Holy Spirit. It means on a daily basis. We need to be in God's Word and we need to be making decisions. We need to be making decisions on a daily basis. 3 things, we need to remove old things, our old behaviors. Number 2, we need to renovate. We need to change the spirit. And then we need to put on new robes. Can you realize? We change, we get rid of the old. By God's grace, we change our heart. And then number 3, we start to obey what we need to do. Christianity is not about a list of do's and don'ts. But when God changes us from the inside, we will do those things He tells us to do. Okay? How often are we to do this? Daily. Daily. But Brother Johnny, I'm very tired. No, you know, after work, I'm not talking about after work. I'm talking when you are working. I'm talking when you are studying. I'm talking about when you're walking along the street. You must ask God already to work in your hearts. I'm going to give you this. Okay, this is for your attachments. Okay, just take this. Just for yourself. Okay, I'll just take this. It is for yourself, keep it for yourself. Okay? What are some reasons that I'm not changing? I don't want you to do it yourself. It's a personal workshop. Alright, before you sleep, your own quiet time, whatever. It's a personal workshop for you. Why can't I change? Okay? Is there any extras? Any extras? I'll just take one. Just take one. Oh, okay, thank you. It's okay. Alright, it's okay, just hold it first. What are some reasons why we cannot change? Okay, just read the verse. Thank you. Just read the verse, thank you. And then ask yourself, why am I not changing? Okay, I won't give you the answer, alright? You write it in, and then we'll kind of go through it quickly tomorrow, okay? Okay? Right, this is a personal workshop for you. And I believe this is very important because it's for yourself. You have no more kind of personality that God has made you. For those who just come, you can do some of the checklist. Verse 33, page 33, page 34. Okay, in your book, there's actually certain things you can do. Okay, and then with that, you can actually find out what kind of personality you are. What kind of personality you are. Okay, remember, God wants to shift us from the personality we are to the personality that He wants us to be. Christ-likeness. And Christ is a balance of all the personalities that you can ever find. Okay? We are lopsided because of the corruption of our sinful nature. God wants to move us towards Him. Alright? Okay, any questions? We'd like to have a word of prayer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, once again, we thank You with all our hearts for bringing Brother Rolando and Sister Celine safely. I know there may be some initial panic, but yet, Lord, we know that You were in charge all along, and all we need to do is to trust You. And Father, thank You for what You're going to do. Thank You for the men that have taken responsibility to help. And thank You, Lord, You brought them. Brought father and daughter safely here. They can join us in this camp. Lord, thank You for all that You're going to do in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And I know, Lord, that there's no climax, but just a teaching of Your Word. Lord, I pray most of all that as we begin to understand the process of change, that God, by the end of this church camp, we will understand how we are to change. And maybe some of this is just a reminder, Lord, but God, we need to do it on a daily basis if we are to change for Your honor and glory. Thank You for what You're going to do now, Lord. Lord, even as we're going to close now, we pray You dismiss us with Your richest blessings as we go to our devotion groups. Lord, I pray that You will help us to understand more and more of Your Word. Thank You once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.